Hey everybody, it's Stunt Granny Audio. This is the review of the pay-per-view we all just illegally watched. I'm Jeremy.
Illegally watched.
There's Kevin.
Hello, friends.
That's Eric.
And that's the
Okay,
ghost
Jordan,
of Billy
you know
Mays.
you're not a pro at these, but fuck, that's your cue.
That's the fucking ghost of Billy Mays right there.
I just heard there's Eric. I was waiting for Eric to say something.
Yeah, Eric said hi.
Oh, I
right,
hear
I'm
that
the one that doesn't pay attention. That's my gimmick.
I just stroked off there in a minute for a minute. So.
Okay. All right, so Dusty cut out of the show with two matches left. We all thought he was joking when he said there's nothing left to watch. So that's why he's not on the show.
Right. And, I think he has a man crush on The Miz. He didn't want to see what was going to happen to him. So
well, and that was good for him. So
yeah,
let's just start with the first match and go from there. And I'll actually go in order, unlike the preview show where we went in order but skipped around. So, yeah, Kevin called me out on it halfway through. He's like, you know, we're not actually going in order. Like, yeah, shut up. So, all right, first match was the ECW scramble match with the winner. Who won that? Oh, Tommy Dreamer. Yes, Tommy Dreamer came out as ECW champion.
Right. He hasn't missed too many scrambles.
Yeah.
Yep. He had the Denny's scramble this morning.
Yeah, obviously.
Grand slamble.
Moons over Miami.
The vast waistband.
Yeah, that's what put him over the 265 mark was that Grand Slam breakfast he had this morning.
No doubt. He's suffering a $3 steak, and he knows because he's eaten a million of them. He's eaten L of them.
Oh no! I love these inside jokes. No one's gonna fucking understand whatsoever. Yeah, so during the match, let's see.
I think everybody was the champion during this match.
Let's see. Finley pinned Swagger, Henry pinned Dreamer, Swagger pinned Henry, Dreamer pinned Christian. Yeah, so everyone was champion at one point.
No,
Christian wasn't. That's right, Christian wasn't.
Good.
All people.
Yeah, everyone expected Christian.
Yeah, so the last guy... yeah, Dreamer pinned Christian. That was the last pin attempt. Supposedly there was a 20-minute time limit. I don't know. It didn't seem all that long, but, you know, it was such an action-packed match that I would just, you know, it was easy to get caught up in it.
Terrible.
I don't know. I guess
I had to ask all of you guys during the discussion we had what the frigging rules of this match were. So
yeah.
Off.
It's like the old, do you remember from, what was it, WrestleMania 2000, where everybody pins everybody and the last guy left is the champion?
Yep.
Whatever, that
yeah.
stupid hardcore battle royal. It's like that, except they don't count as official title reign, which is stupid.
Right.
So.
And, of course, in that match, you still didn't know who got the last pinfall because it
no,
only had two counts.
Because they didn't flash up like interim champion or anything. They just sort of, you know, it's still easier to understand than King of the Mountain or whatever, but
yeah.
not much.
Well, King of the Mountain made sense. You just, if you got pinned, you went in the penalty box, and then you had to get a ladder and climb it, and then hopefully you didn't have to go in the penalty box.
And if you did get the pin, then you got the chance to climb a ladder and hook the bell onto the thing, and if you hooked the bell, then you could grab it again real quick because you're the champion. That looked
man,
funny.
how many Luthez matches did I see like that?
Luthez versus Iron Mike Sharp's grandpa.
90-minute Broadway.
All right, so I guess overall impression, we'll go with Kevin first. Just what was your favorite part or your overall impression of this?
My favorite part was the end. When the match ceased to exist. Good God. We did not need to see that. You know, Tommy Dreamer, as we noted in the preview, continues to look like a goddamn weak champion. So it's like, please, just, you know, it's nice. Great, he's champion. Stop making him look like a schmuck if you're going to keep him champion. But, you know, let's move on.
All right, Eric.
Overall, my favorite parts were when everybody did all the spots they've been doing for the last 12 months, like when Mark Henry pretended he was going to go to the top rope and come off with some move onto the floor. When Finley did his slow motion 47-year-old dive through the ropes, and when Tommy Dreamer beat on his chest so people can chant ECW, and then and then look at that blubber fly. Boy, I couldn't wait for this fucking rotten match to get over with.
All right, Jordan.
Yeah, I was basically the same way. I've seen better, you know, ECW main events with, you know, Hornswoggle in them. So it was just, it just existed. I couldn't wait. When I thought they were, when they were chanting EC Dub, I thought they were chanting Greasy Chub at Tommy Dreamer. So.
Holy shit, that's gross.
Fantastic. Oh, hey, can I throw this out here, too? Wasn't this match supposed to be 20 minutes? Wasn't that part of
it? Yeah, there was no way. I think it was with the intros, it was like 17 minutes.
Yeah, according to .net and Powell, this match lasted 14 minutes and 45 seconds.
Well, they use, like, the Royal Rumble clock, though, where it's supposed to be, what, every 2 minutes, and it's like, all right, you go out 30 seconds, and then you go out, so it's like, whatever. It's, you're going to take WWE to task for changing times on stuff. I mean, fuck. It's... Yeah.
Like, I think it was Randy Savage and Lanny Poffo a million years ago in some match that I think Jim Cornette or Paul Bearer, somebody was there live for it. They were making fun of the match. They were going, supposed to be a 60-minute Broadway, and they started at the top of the hour, and the bell rang at 42 minutes after the hour. How could you tell? Because there's a big fucking clock hanging over the top above the ring. Good one, guys.
They needed time for the main event. That's what they needed.
Well, yeah.
Yeah, we're already staying in order.
We're staying in order. Next up, they had some stuff backstage with Edge yelling at Teddy Long backstage and blah, blah, blah. Then we had, I'm considering it the match of the night, Rey Mysterio versus Chris Jericho. And for those who missed it, Rey won because he was wearing two masks. And Jericho tore off one, and Rey didn't have to freak out because he still had his face protected. So, I know we kind of goofed on a bunch of stuff while we were on the messenger during this, but then I think Eric was the first one to say this is actually a really good match.
No, I think Eric and I at the same time said it.
Okay. Yeah. But to me, it was. I mean, this was, besides the Jeff Hardy CM Punk match, this was the one I was looking forward to the most, and it didn't disappoint. Whatsoever.
It was great. It was long. It was almost 16 minutes. It had a good story, which...
Yes, it did.
A lot of stuff is lacking in WWE right now, having a good story to sink your teeth into. At least something that's not stale, like the main event. And then, like, all the false finishes near the end and all the close calls. This was just a great match. Great match.
Yeah, Jordan, what do you think?
No, I agree. It was every spot made sense within itself. There were kickouts. It wasn't quite like a WrestleMania finishes all the time, but we went for the Walls of Jericho or the Code Breaker. Rey would have a reversal. Every time Rey would go for the 619, Jericho would have a reversal. It was just good. It built up really, really well. I was really impressed with it.
Yeah, Kev, what do you think?
It sucked.
Oh, God.
I just felt like I needed somebody to disagree at some point during this audio. Now, it was a damn good match. It did. It lived up to billing. And, if it wasn't the best match, I mean, I think it was still the best match of the night. I mean, I like the Hardy CM Punk thing.
Yeah.
We can get to that later. But, I mean, as far as, like, real match quality goes, I think that one had Punk and Hardy beat.
Well, yeah, but I think my reasoning for that would be it had a more satisfying ending. As good as the CM Punk Jeff Hardy match end is, which we'll get to, I don't know. This one had a, like, you know, cohesive ending, just a very clear, this guy won, this guy lost, you know, sends the kids home happy into the merchandise stands.
What did Cole say at the beginning that this would be the first time Rey had ever been maskless? Or something
he
like
said,
completely
no, actually,
adamant.
That was Grisham.
Yeah. He was the one who said that Rey Mysterio has been wearing a mask ever since his first wrestling match, which is obviously incorrect.
Yeah, but if anyone paid attention, Jim Ross even said he started when he was 14. This is I think before Grisham said this, he says he started when he was 14 and then was given his mask a few months later. So
yep.
Ross just clearly said he didn't always wrestle with a mask on.
Yeah.
I said, thanks for paying attention, Todd, you fucking tool. I mean, it's not hard.
Yeah, WWE.com even had some 1999 Ray without his mask on this month on their on demand, and
yeah.
then they took it down.
Yeah. Well, they've had that filthy animal stuff up before where Ray came out with
yeah,
like the
exactly.
horn, all that stuff.
This is the same. This is the same Todd Grisham though that for the Benoit DVD was doing commentary for.
That Japanese
versus,
match,
I believe. Yeah, Justin Thunder Lager.
Lager. Justin Lager.
Sure, it wasn't Justin Stout.
Yeah, yeah, right.
God. There was something else. Oh, they kept emphasizing that if he lost, he would lose his mask forever.
Yeah.
And I don't know if you guys caught it. Whenever they would say forever in the messenger, I would type forever. Just
yeah.
kind of like a short echo. I mean,
yep.
Jesus. We get it.
But you don't.
It's drama. It's drama, man.
They're
yeah.
building towards something.
Yeah, I guess.
So anyway,
the one part.
The professionals in the ring.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. Because I mean, when it came down to that last part with Jericho putting on that last Walls of Jericho, which is, I think we can all essentially say it's a Boston Crab now, that
yeah.
I honestly, I mean,
yeah.
the way it was synced in, that really looked like that was going to be the end.
Mm-hmm.
And just wow. And I don't know. I guess it goes back to what Eric said, just the two old pros.
Yep. Well, and I like the finish because it told the story that he'd been telling. Jericho had been winning by pulling his mask off, so Ray wins by having another mask underneath. It was just great.
Yeah.
I mean, it was old school, simple. Yeah,
mm-hmm.
Yeah, plus he had already when did he outsmart him? Was it on SmackDown this week or last
yep.
week?
Both.
So he ends up,
this,
you know,
yeah.
you know, he ends up outsmarting him again.
Yeah.
When he hit himself as a child in the crowd?
Yeah.
Nah. Well, the drunk midgets hop on the railing. All right. All right. So, let's see. What happens after this? Oh, Jericho went back, yelled at Long about losing, blah, blah, blah. And then this is where I ran to get Doritos. So the match was Dolph Ziggler versus the Great Khali.
Next match.
And like
yeah,
I said, it's amazing how quickly I got to the store, though, because looking at this, this was apparently only 5 minutes, and there wasn't a whole lot, you know, after this. So
no, 3 minutes of that was Kane's run-in.
Yeah.
His run-in? His walk-in?
Well, that's what I mean. Anyway, yeah, it took him 3 minutes to get to the ring.
It's true.
So I didn't miss a whole lot. Okay.
No, you did not.
Wow.
No.
I mean, how did Kane...
matches were better.
Well, how did Kane look? I mean, you know, it's... I know that's kind of a dumb question.
Like
he looked, yeah, he looked silly.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, it's,
well.
The Tommy Dreamer workout plan.
But
no,
he's not courteous
Dolph,
enough to wear a shirt.
No,
yeah.
Dolph brought a chair into the ring, and then Kane's entrance kicked on, and then he strolled down to the ring slowly and then grabbed the chair. Dolph powdered out, and then Kane grabbed the chair. Cut Khali down to size. Good God, King. And then Dolph ran in for the pin. It was like, it did nothing whatsoever for Dolph Ziggler at
nope,
all.
Not
and,
all.
Like I mentioned, Messenger, we get to revisit Kane versus Great Khali because it was so good at WrestleMania 23. We had to go back to it.
Yep.
And I think we've already spent about as much time as we need to on that match.
Yeah, I was about to say, we all spent more time than the actual match. All right. Then the kind of the surprise, I guess this is going to qualify as a surprise of the night. The unified tag team match is next. But Teddy Long inserted Chris Jericho and Edge as a tag team into this match.
Mm-hmm.
And they eventually ended up winning after being in the ring for all of maybe a minute and a half. So, Jordan, you start off this one. Just your thoughts on it.
Part of me likes it because I like Jericho and Edge, but another part of me is a little, like, pissed off because here's young guys trying to get over, trying to, you know, I know they're not, nobody cared. Nobody cares about the Colons and Leg and, you know, Randy Orton's jobber boys, but it's just kind of like, I'm just more frustrated by a guy who debuted in 1998 and a guy who debuted in 1999 defeating more young guys. It's just more belts on the older guys. And the Jericho Edge had no real reason to team up. It was just Teddy Long putting them together. Again, I think it's going to be good. Like, they'll be fine because they'll be entertaining. But I was a little frustrated with it.
Yeah. Hey, Karen, what did you think?
You know, the one part of the match that I did like was the, really, the Colognes and Priceless. They kept on staying within their own teams to the for the tags, and any time that, like, Edge or Jericho got in, they always seemed to get a tag out really quickly, which I thought was kind of a slick idea by the other teams, really, since they were both pissed off that they were involved in the match to start with. So I thought that was, you know, good work on their part, at least to kind of, you know, keep it in a storyline perspective, really.
Yeah.
But, yeah, as far
you don't
as
see
the
that
ending
much,
of the match
actually.
Goes.
Well, no, because, I mean, and I think this has been brought up before. It's in these, like, triple threat or, I don't know, however you want to call them, these tag matches where it's like, why the hell would you tag anybody but your own partner? So it's like, you finally got a chance to see it. So, I agree with you.
Yeah, there's that aspect of it, too.
Yeah. So, all right, Eric, what do you think?
Well, I agree with Kevin in that I like the playing up the frustration of Edge and Jericho. They built it up, you know, from the first backstage segment. And they're both good at acting frustrated, so that was all right. But I also agree with Jordan, and I agree with the conversation we had earlier, because it's very obvious to agree with. This came at the expense of a lot of people and a lot of hard work that a lot of people have put in. And don't get me wrong, I love Teddy Long. I think he's great. I love him as a babyface GM. But this whole thing was to get over Edge, who's already over, Jericho, who's already over, and Teddy Long at the expense of Carlito and Primo, who have been working their asses off for the last 2 months. They've been on every show. They put on good matches on every show. I don't know how many times I can bitch about Cody Rhodes and Ted DiBiase just being used as jobbers when they're supposed to be in a fucking elite stable, second and third generation wrestlers, and you know, here they just get the rug swept out from under them, and who knows if they're going to get any retribution? Probably not.
We'll get to that later too.
That's the main event kind of encapsulating of that stuff. You know, I agree with you guys. I think if there is a positive, it's that we may get the chance to see Jericho and Edge on more TV. Hopefully, it doesn't burn them out because, you know, having Edge and Jericho going over to Raw at least gives you a little bit more of a reason to watch. It's like putting a naked chick next to a piece of shit. You're still going to look because you've got a hot naked chick standing next to it, but even that, the luster wears off after a while. And then also,
it's a tag belt, so they're just going to sit there and they're going to ship them over another show and they're going to wrestle singles matches all the time.
Yeah, yep. Yeah. Yep. But at the same time, and I mentioned this also, was if they use Edge and Jericho to get over DiBiase and Rhodes, then it's mission accomplished, and that's okay in the end. But who the hell called Rhodes spindly legs? Because I've been giggling about that ever since I saw it.
I think it was Kevin, actually.
Was that you?
No, that was Eric. I think you started.
No,
that.
I didn't call them spindly legs.
I called them stick legs. So I call them lifty stick.
Well, then, you said stick, and I, you know what? When we were later in the conversation, I thought you said spindly, so that's what I went with.
Spindly legs.
Great word, no matter what.
Cheese dick.
Spindly is right up there with fucko. That's a great word.
Fuckos. That word cracks me up every time.
I think that was...
Good job, fuckos.
Good job, fuckos.
All right. So anyways, Edge and Jericho won after Edge came in out of the blue and gave Carlito a spear for the finish. So
he didn't really come in out of the blue because he tug himself in when Rhodes was holding onto the ropes. But.
Yeah, well, it was a blind tag, though. So, you know, kind of out of the blue. Well, out of the blue for Carlito because he didn't see it coming, fucko. So
fuck it. Hey, and it's worth mentioning too. God, I'm gonna sound like an idiot. I just went to our band's MySpace, but for some reason you said this while I was looking at messages about gigs. I apologize. The crowd was really chanting for Christian during this match.
Yes, yeah. They were. We want Christian all mm-hmm. the time. But which is funny because during his match, they didn't really cheer for him at all.
Yeah.
It's like...
now we want Christian. Yeah. You know.
Mm-hmm.
Which proves that no one watches ECW at all.
Yeah, and they even started chanting Edge and Christian for a little bit, too.
That was funny.
But then...
Backstage
after this match, something interesting actually happened. Orton, you know, being self-involved or, you know, selfish, was saying, no, it doesn't matter, you guys almost won. And Ted DiBiase actually stood up for himself. And you don't really see this at all. Basically, these guys just kind of took their lumps and then got on with it. And, you know, he goes through all this crap, and basically it was just set up as a swerve for later because he ended up showing up anyways.
Yeah, that didn't make any sense to me in hindsight, but we'll get to that later. The whole point, of that would be to have DiBiase do something, and he didn't do anything.
Yep. unless they've got a killer reason, you know, why, but yeah, I doubt it, so...
No.
Old spindly legs was supposed to talk to him.
Oh, that's true. Yeah, which is another thing later on that just didn't make any fucking sense.
Nothing
we'll
made any
thing.
Fucking sense with that, but yeah.
Yeah, when it comes to that entire thing, yeah. All right, after this, we had the scintillating WWE Women's Championship match.
I think our entire conversation...
Kevin and I talked about this match this afternoon. I don't want to talk about it. So, Eric, you get to start off because I don't care about this match.
Oh, wonderful. Okay, well, Melina entered the ring first. Fucking cunt. Fucking fakest ass baby face ever. Just the worst piece of shit. Can't act or fucking smile. She can't even smile and look legitimate. Fucking, I bought Mick Foley's Hardcore Diaries about a month ago at Barnes & Noble because it was on clearance for $6.
Nice.
And I read it, and he talked the whole damn time about how wonderful of a woman Melina is. I don't fucking believe it. I absolutely do not believe it. She cannot pass as a baby face. She strolls down to the ring, does her cunt slam to enter the ring, and then...
oh, my God.
Rotten Michelle McCool, who's even worse, somehow manages to actually be worse than Melina at everything. Does some stuff, I don't know, horrible facials. Hopefully Undertaker gives her a horrible facial later. wins the match with her fake breaker, I think it's called, which is the Styles Clash, basically. Ooh, she's making fun of women for having fake tits, which I'm pretty sure she probably has herself. And
she does.
She's the first woman to be not only the Divas champion, but the
women's champion. She's only sized up that small?
Yeah.
Yeah. Dude, you don't see that much sternum on a chick with like real tits. There's no fucking way.
No, it doesn't usually look like they glued two flapjacks to her chest or whatever.
Yeah,
so.
That is true.
Yeah.
But anyway,
that's what happened.
Yeah. Yeah. He said it all. I don't want to add anything to it. I wandered off. I got distracted by something shiny. I was reading about Billy Mays half the time during this match anyway.
Did they ever say what he died of? Besides,
no, they're still trying to figure out. Did you hear he got hit in the head by stuff on an airplane yesterday, and they think it might have been hemorrhaging in his brain.
Yeah,
I shit you not.
So, I know that's not funny, but what a shit way to die.
I know.
It was a bad landing. The landing gear failed, and the plane hit hard, and a bunch of shit fell on his head.
Blew out a tire and kind of skidded, and shit hit him in the head, and it sounds like he went the Natasha Richardson way.
Never too soon. I love it.
Well, no,
that's
but I'm
awful.
Saying it was the same
no,
way.
No,
I mean,
no, yeah.
I forgot about her, too. That's
and,
great.
And
what a
shitty
thing.
The sad thing is I'm 100 times more sad about that than, you know, pedophile McFacelift dying, so...
I was just thinking, though, I mean, the plane crashed. I mean, essentially, if they had a bad landing with the landing gear not working, you crash. It's not as severe, I suppose.
Right.
You survive that shit, and then you die at home for no reason?
Yeah.
I mean,
that sucks.
I mean, that's like Final Destination come to life, dude. So,
and the sad
Kevin,
thing is, I was actually watching his TV show this morning, too. So, it's awesome. Pitchman.
Well, we'll always have YouTube. So,
yep.
Kevin, what did you think of the match?
yeah.
Now that we're talking about dudes with beards.
Okay, so.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Anyway, should have been Mickey James being the one to you know, and this isn't even like a I know that I'm sure as hell biased her way, but really she's the only woman that gets any type of real reaction from the live crowd anymore. So she really should have been the one as the first diva to get both the Divas title and the women's title.
Yeah.
And that's really all I have to say about that match.
Yeah.
Who even has
going back to the tag match real quick, I pulled this one out. Jericho's the only guy to win the Unified Tag Champion and the Heavyweight Champion.
Very true.
So,
Excuse me while I whip this out.
Yep. But yeah, so there's all that.
Yeah. If he would have beaten Jericho and Rock and Austin, that would have meant something. That he'd be with the 70 pube stash and the afro man. So.
All right. Oh, all right. So next, finally, we get to talk about another positive. Next match was Jeff Hardy taking on for the World Heavyweight Championship. That Hardy won the match and then freaked out on Punk afterwards because it was by disqualification because Punk accidentally kicked the referee. I don't know who let off last time, so Kevin, go ahead. You're first.
Well, since I'm first, I mean, how can you... Really, the match was pretty solid, but it's really going to be overshadowed by the ending of, you know, just the whole foot under the ropes. The referee actually notices it and does not call for the bell.
Mm-hmm.
And then, you know, I didn't even see CM Punk getting poked in the eye, actually. And
he got
then he sells
elbowed.
It like, oh, elbowed?
Yeah, it was an elbow to the eye.
Oh, okay. Yeah, and then just him selling that and, you know, getting himself DQ'd was effing hysterical. Really, I mean, it is such a good, shitty way to get himself over as a bad guy. Like, they're just, like, taking just enough time with him just to piss off the crowd. Oh, man. Gotta love it. The ending really did overshadow the fairly quality wrestling match that they had before that, actually.
Mm-hmm.
So that's my take.
All right, Eric.
One thing I mentioned in our Messenger conversation was, thank God Michael Hayes is still on the creative team because I guarantee you this was his finish. He's done a million of these, you know, semi-blinded, completely blinded angles. He's also smart enough to know, and as a heel and as a free bird, he's definitely smart enough to know this and to have lived through this. If the heel does something that he or she can claim they were justified in doing or they didn't realize that what they did was wrong, then it makes it even better for their heel turn. The fact that Punk can go on and say, I was blind, I didn't realize I kicked the referee, wink, wink, nudge, nudge.
Mm-hmm.
Brilliant. Just, I mean, I agree with Kevin. It was a good match, but this the whole like last three to 5 minutes or so really unfolded just perfectly. And CM Punk's facials throughout the whole match, too, were great. Smirking here, clapping at this, laughing at this, serious about that. This guy, he's got it. And as long as Triple H keeps his fucking mouth shut backstage during matches and doesn't do any more of that he can't work sort of stuff, then we may have a bona fide star on our hands here.
Yeah. All right, Jordan?
Yeah, I was really impressed with how each week the reaction is getting not full-blown heel, but it's getting worse. I mean, like, more and more boos, more and more, you know. And they're leaving it to where he feels like he's justified in what he's doing. It's for you to decide if he's a heel or not. It's old school. I love it. I love the way they're doing that. And I loved his celebration even after he got it. He went and just grabbed the belt and like it was his only possession in the world and was kind of even holding onto his eye and still celebrating like he was won the biggest championship ever. So yeah. It was great. He's so much better as a heel. He's always been a little smarmy, so it kind of comes off, you know, comes off so much better.
So. Somebody just have a Dorito backfire?
Yeah,
No, that wasn't me.
Someone was complaining
they were gassy earlier, so
that wasn't from the back end. That was from the front end, and that was the beer that I'm drinking here.
Yeah, because we didn't hear any dogs yiping if it was the back end. So but when it comes to this, I agree with Jordan on this. When the part that cracked me up the most was when Jeff Hardy went and attacked him on stage. And Punk dropped the belt up there. Well, then, Jeff, who showed an incredible amount of fire for him, I mean, it was one of those things that... Shut up. I just caught the fire comment. It was just one of those things where you don't see Hardy do that. I mean, he's usually... They have him reserved. But then his offense has always looked kind of weak. Like put his punches, that sort of thing. And when he just tackles Punk and just starts like looking like he's legitimately trying to strike him down, that was pretty startling. But then after they break it all up, Punk goes back up on the ramp and he's telling the referee to grab my belt.
Yeah,
they give him the belt and he starts celebrating all over again.
Yep.
And I was like, that's great.
I want to throw this to you if Jordan is correct and Meltzer is correct that Hardy's going to be gone in the next week or two. I vote for this idea that maybe Jeff Hardy gets suspended, which I think all three of you guys at the same time just all came up like, Jeff Hardy's getting suspended. And I was like, hey, if y'all are going to mention that at once, let me chime in and suggest that CM Punk maybe goes to Teddy Long and lobbies for Jeff Hardy's suspension, thus getting him even more over as a heel.
Yeah,
exactly.
And it would have to be like a legitimate reason too.
Well, because
like,
he got attacked after the match or whatever. Or they can,
I was more than an injury. Yeah.
Yeah.
And that's a good idea. And really, and as I've said the last three audios, whatever we've done, SmackDown is the best wrestling show in this country.
Yep.
So I have the utmost. I mean, and that's why I don't mind Jericho Edge. Any of the stuff that's happened, even the Khali Kane stuff, I'm willing to give it some time.
At least they're wrestling each other so they won't wrestle small guys. They'll just get it out of the way in one match.
Addition by subtraction.
Yep.
Yeah. and it's the utmost confidence in that show. Now, if this was Raw, and I think I even said in the Messenger conversation, I don't understand how these two shows are under the same goddamn company. I don't understand that at all.
They weren't. Trump owned Raw last week.
That's true.
Continue, sorry.
That grilled chicken.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, fuck.
What's up with the chicken? Can I have some? What a great fucking line. That's still a great line.
Yeah. And then he looked at it and thought better about it and like, nah, I'm not going to eat it.
Yeah, and then basically dumps on Kentucky grilled chicken on TV.
Yeah,
that they paid for?
That's what they had the whole night. I need the fucking chicken.
Eric, I remember you saying you went to Kentucky Fried Chicken and KFC now.
Yeah.
And that promo was over or whatever.
Maybe
so.
It was just the one location I went to, but I wanted a two-piece grilled chicken because it was supposed to be $3.99. The menu said $6.59. I didn't see the promotion anywhere. I'm not spending $6.59 on that.
No. And from what I heard, it's like it's grilled in beef fat, too, which is kind of awesome.
Ooh. Okay.
So. Ooh. Wow. That sounds kind of delicious.
And,
really?
Yeah. It looks like it has the consistency of a boot, so I'm not going for it.
Man, can you imagine how awesome that stuff must have tasted after being out there for 3 hours or however long it was sat out there under the lights?
Yeah.
That's Tommy Dreamer's pay for the night.
Yeah, I was going to say it's a good thing neither Taz or Mick Foley are doing color commentary anymore.
Just put a little towel over the one bucket.
Yeah, that stuff cool.
Hey, let's welcome back to the announce position, Taz. Hey, it's good to be here. Yeah.
I had to go sit on another famous bowl.
Wait, guys, we're shitting. Wait a minute, stop. We got to get back. We're shitting on an actual good match. But we should save all this crap for the last one. We're trying to get it back to it. But it also goes back to the not the genius of Punk, but in this case, just allowing him. I don't know. Maybe this is because of seeing him in ROH.
Right.
And allowing himself to use some of that on a bigger stage, that it's allowed him to flourish a little bit, as long as no one gets pissed off
Right.
I guess that's one thing I worry about Undertaker coming back.
Yeah. Ah. Well, I'm wondering who's he gonna face now? With Jeff's gone, who's left for a babyface for him to face at all on SmackDown?
Maybe Undertaker. Ray? If Undertaker comes back.
Yeah, Undertaker.
Ray? Could be Ray.
Okay,
yeah,
Ray.
Ray's the Intercontinental Champion, though. Yeah. That's not going to happen.
Yeah. Well, Jericho will win it back 9 times this week, so.
Wait, how many times?
L.
L. L.
Yeah, so. But no, that's, I don't know. I know for me personally, Jericho Ray was match of the night. Was this anybody's match of the night, or was it Michelle McCool Molina?
I think it was
or?
Angle of the night for me.
Angle. Yes, I agree.
Yeah.
Okay. Kevin.
Yeah. Finish of the night for sure. Like, I mean, as much as I kind of like the action at the end of that, just like the whole combination of the acting and just the angle they went about that, it was the finish of the night.
Well, all right. Before we go to Miz and Cena, the one thing that made the finish, and I think Eric, you pointed it out, Scott Armstrong, he never called for the bell.
Nope.
And I thought that was the most important part of that, because it doesn't give Jeff Hardy a loophole to where he can go to Teddy Long and be like, "Hey, look, he rang the bell." I mean,
right? Yeah. I mean, it was the timekeeper that just sort of took it upon him or herself to ring the bell. So that you don't get any heat on the referee, technically. You shouldn't. The referee didn't make a mistake.
Yep.
He slapped the hand. He stood up and he looked and saw the foot and did not call for the bell. He waved
it off.
No,
he waved it off. Yep.
But I guess the only reason that even matters is you see that most of the time where the referee calls for the bell and then goes, "Oh, wait," like afterwards another referee runs down. Like, Earl Hebner runs down and gets in the guy's face and over-exaggerates everything, and then the two referees fight, just like you were saying, the heat's not on the referee in this case.
Yep.
I mean, no one's going to remember the referee tomorrow, but they're going to remember that the foot was under the rope. So,
absolutely.
I just thought that was important to point out for a change. They actually got the referee part, correct for a change.
Good for being in the Armstrong family.
Yeah.
Yep, he knows what it's like to be pinned, so he's good.
Yeah.
All right. So up next, there's another backstage interaction with Teddy Long and the colognes this time. And the colognes are like, "What the hell was that, Teddy?" And he goes, "Hey, I'm about to be fired. What'd you expect?" And they got in his face, and he goes, "Just get the stepping." Showing.
And then he kind of let a sigh, like, "Oh, now I feel bad for you."
Yeah. But then, the colognes started going off in Spanish or whatever. And then he just walked away. And you don't think it's a heel turn. It doesn't feel like one. But it's what I'm hoping that they're gearing away from. He's on kind of like weak ground right now where they could make it either way. So
I forgot. They're actually technically part of SmackDown, aren't they?
Yes. No, Raw. They're Raw.
No, they're Raw, I thought.
They're Raw, I think.
I thought they got drafted to SmackDown.
Jesus.
No, they were on SmackDown, and then they got drafted to Raw.
Oh, okay.
They're on the Raw roster.
Okay.
Rock and roll.
Well, I mean, but it makes sense that they'd be mad at him, so.
Right.
Okay,
oh,
so
well,
the next match, and this is where if I had my sound on, I'm sure I would have heard a kaplunk of a door closing, and this is Dusty leaving. this is John Cena beat The Miz. Pretty much what nobody, I mean, that no one I talked to wanted this to happen, but
nope.
Cena squashed The Miz, basically, and that was it.
Yeah, Lawler tried to sell how much offense The Miz got in there at the end. He controlled the majority of the match. Yeah, the whole 3 minutes of it. Good for him.
Yeah, this one's for the floor. So, I mean, there's almost nothing to talk about in this, really.
Well, about the first exchange. You know, the thing that I liked about what Cena did at first was he went for Miz's right leg, then he went for his left leg, then he went for his left arm, then he went for his head, just to kind of be like, you know, I can toy around with you. Miz had a couple minutes, just like a heel does, but Cena, the finish, it was just, you know, five-knuckle shuffle, F-U, S-D-F-U. Bing, bang, boom, the end.
Yeah.
And
yeah,
the
for me,
symbol at the end.
Yeah. For me, it's like, I got really excited. I knew this was going to be a squash because I got really excited up until the week they had that battle royal where the last three were Miz, Cena, and Triple H. Things had been going well with the Miz thing. All he had to do was dump him over. If Miz dumps him over, that gets Miz like 8-0. It makes it seem a lot more important than Triple H throws him over and he still wins the fucking match. Did it matter that why Cena and them have to throw Miz out? I knew he was in trouble then. Then last week, or Monday or whatever, when he just, like, when he berates him, he says the real world's over, basically buries him. You're a WWE never was. And it's like, oh, God, they're doing it again. Every time a guy starts getting over, they just kill him. Just kill him dead. And so I knew after the cowardly bitch slap and then run that he was going to get squashed this week. And it's just, like, it's so frustrating because Miz started, you know, he was doing really well. I was really impressed with him. It was something different, and now it's the same old shit. Cena didn't need to win. Cena doesn't need to win over The Miz. Nobody gives a shit if he wins. It means a lot more to have The Miz win, even by fluke, even by big show, you know, by something, and then did nothing. It just sort of frustrated the hell out of me. And I ran it longer than the match actually was. So.
I guess we should have gone to you first. We all could have just taken
Well, that's all right. It's just that was like 3 weeks worth of ranting in one little go.
Well, yeah, but it goes back to what I said, too. It's like this match, if that's how it was going to go, the match shouldn't have been on pay-per-view.
Nope.
But, I mean, I guess Miz got a payoff out of it. So, hey, good for you. You're second from the top.
Actually, it might be good only about, 25,000 people saw it?
Yeah, that's true. What was it? Kevin Nash has said it's better to lose on pay-per-view than TV.
Because
more people watch TV. So who knows?
Yep. That'll still mean nothing, but yeah.
Yeah, all right. And then, so if that match didn't lose the crowd, this one certainly did. You know you're in trouble when the main event that is a 2 out of 3 falls gimmick match starts with, roughly 30 minutes left in the show.
By
25.
The time Triple H actually got into the ring, I think, during his intro, it was 11:30 or 10:30.
Yeah. And from there...
The announcements that Lillian did not fuck up for the last time she had pay-per-views.
But Cole did, because Cole said that this is a 3 stages of match.
Match, hell, match, match.
Did he really?
Yes, he did.
What a stole.
Is this the one where I went? This is where I went to make the bed. So I missed the first. I missed the first fall.
No, you didn't.
Well, I heard it.
Okay.
Yeah, I heard a chair. And I was like, well, wait a second. Well, Jordan, you're on a roll, so you take it with your thoughts.
Oh God, no, I don't. I don't need to ever see this fucking match ever again. It was just same old crap. It was Hunter and Orton going back and forth with their same punch, kick, punch, headlock, rest, punch, punch, kick, punch, punch, kick, punch, more punching, headlock, 5 minute rest. Triple H no selling the whole thing. Backdrop. There you go. Yep. Can't forget the backdrop. And then
in the video game.
Yeah.
Just hit the A button a bunch and just go. Yeah, it was just
SmackDown.
So boring. And then Triple H grabs a chair and beats up Orton to get the DQ so he can win the second fall, which is a street fight. Which, you should have heard the crowd. I heard one guy go, "Oh God!" Like it was clean as day in the background, like just so unhappy. Everybody just like, ugh. There were more boos for Triple H than there were boos for Orton through most of the match. A couple guys were yelling, "You suck!" Like Eric said, it was. You shouldn't have to pay. People were clapping to keep themselves entertained. It was bad. It was just really boring. And then the end was something special, too.
Yeah,
but
we'll get to the end of the second.
Yeah.
Kevin, what did you think?
Yeah. No. Yeah, the first two falls, what? It honestly was, Triple H didn't even last that long. It was like maybe 5 minutes into it that he did that whole chair spot. And then the second pin took place right afterwards. Like, I mean, he wore him out, and his falls count anywhere. So, like, he smacks him with the chair out of the ring and gets the second fall. It's like, oh, okay. And whatever. Like, stretcher matches just don't do anything for me. As I said, they were just stretching out the length of the fucking match. That's all they fucking did with that thing.
All right, Eric, what did you think?
I appreciate the psychology of Triple H losing the first fall by wearing out Orton with the chair and then pinning him quickly for the second fall, only to throw him on the stretcher, only because if it would have worked, this match would have only been like 6.5 minutes long. I was dreading the fucking last 15 minutes of this match because it was so bad.
I just remember we were talking about TNA, Norwegian ghosts, just nothing about the match at all. None of us had any interest in what was actually going on.
Yeah, we started talking about Samoa Joe's place in the main event mafia during the main event of a WWE pay-per-view. Jesus. Wow.
Fucking terrible.
Yeah.
Just give this up. Give it up. It's so stale. And you know they're just building, they're planning on a SummerSlam rematch, I'm sure.
Well, yeah, I don't know. Well, yeah.
Even if it's not the rumored match, the fact that Orton won really confirms the fact that, you know, there is going to be another match, even if it's not Hell in a Cell.
Well, the absolute end is proof of that, too, where Triple H, the greatest babyface of all time, hits three dudes with a sledgehammer and celebrates.
The numbers game! The numbers game!
Yes. Again, making Legacy look like a bunch of punks.
Yep. Like, he had that sledgehammer, like, attached to the bottom of the ramp. It was like, did you know that you were going to be stuck up on the top of the ramp during the stretcher
match?
Well,
it was a stretcher match, but...
Well, I was about to ask where the hell the sledgehammer came from.
Yeah.
I didn't see him grab it.
Ego.
He's like the David
came from his shorts, man.
You
know what?
We can also mention, since we've alluded to the Cody Rhodes and Ted DiBiase angle earlier, oh man,
yeah.
They sure swerved us when both Cody Rhodes and Ted DiBiase came out to help Triple H.
Yes.
Well, you really got.
Well, first it was Cody Rhodes, and then it built the tension with a capital T, and then DiBiase was, you know, oh, where's DiBiase? Where's DiBiase? That lasted, what, 2 minutes, and then he got hit by Triple H and laid out. And,
Well, my whole thing is, going back to the spindly legs thing, he stops the stretcher. Triple H is pushing the stretcher. He stops it. I was like, with his leg power, there's no way he'd be able to stop that thing. Triple H would have bowled right over him. So I was like, all right, I've just lost interest in this matchup. I mean,
Triple H would have been pushing, and it would have
been
that long to lose interest. What the hell was that? Like running over a raccoon, and you're going 65 miles an hour down the road.
Yeah, I've been watching basketball a lot. It's been
exactly, exactly. That's exactly what I was thinking about.
Yeah. Triple H be watching the pay per view at home. When, I didn't know he was there. Yeah.
Little Cody hits the windshield.
fucking Reamer and Ted DiBiase comes out like Reamer with a fucking basketball. Hey, man.
Yeah.
Let's make Jenna some poppy seed muffins. Fresh. this match did. I mean, I made the bed, and I actually put the sheets on wrong, so I had to redo it again, and I still didn't miss anything in this match.
No.
I mean, It's just gotten to the point where there's no point in having Triple H in the main event because they killed WrestleMania.
Yep.
Oh,
yes.
In, I think the feed was down for the pay-per-view after Backlash, or I was somewhere. I don't know what I was doing.
It doesn't matter. It still sucked. I'm sure.
But every time they're on. And now we're going to get another very closely... very awkward, close speech between Hunter and Orton when Hunter eventually beats the hell out of him again.
Yep. Yep. So they can go to L in a Cell. Two matches, one page.
For the L time.
Oh, if only you people knew. You might see that. Hopefully you figured it out by now.
They give them 25 minutes for all 50 pins, too.
The first one the L pins wins the title. Like, oh, fuck.
Best of L falls.
I wonder what Hunter's nickname in high school was.
Oh, shit. I thought I was going to bring it back full circle with a, hey, Kevin, but you could beat me to it.
Nah. Okay. So we're all down on that match.
Yep.
Down on Hunter. But at the same time, has this kind of killed Orton off as well? Cause...
Oh, no, it killed him off. He's been dead for a while, but this really killed him. I mean, I can't remember.
Oh, go ahead.
I think he got killed when Shane Supermanned him to death, and then he hasn't ever recovered from that. When he was punting all the McMahons, he was over, things were starting to go well, and then when the 40-year-old man in the... athletic gear beat the crap out of him with punches that, you know, oh, God. He hasn't recovered from that. And then every time he, you know, he's what, lost the belt two or three times this year already? I don't know. I don't remember. So it's hard to care because he loses and then he gets squashed and, you know, he loses the belt to Batista. It's a good thing they did that because then they could vacate it again. And then, you know, God, Jesus Christ. Yeah. So.
Yeah,
I think he's dead as a doornail right now, and continually feuding with the two dudes he's been closest associated with isn't helping him either.
Yeah. Well, and this is my personal preference. Keep his ass on Raw. I don't care. I can skip. You know what? Especially when TV starts up again in the fall, I'll be more than happy to skip Raw again. I mean,
I'll watch football.
Yeah, and and just don't screw up SmackDown. Leave ECW alone. Leave Superstars alone.
What's sad is I don't get SmackDown, so I have to find it places. There's no My Network here in town, so I have to...
Hulu's got it on, so...
Okay. I've been, that's where I've been kind of getting some of them, so...
Yeah. No, I mean... I think, Kevin, we mentioned it this afternoon. Impact is a better show than Raw is right now. So...
Ouch.
Well,
it's true, though.
Too soon?
All right, so just to wrap this thing up, because we talked way longer than we expected, go figure, we'll just go with the wrap-up. Since, Jordan, you're the junior member, you have to go first.
I'm the junior member of what?
Yeah, of the group.
Oh, okay. It was an okay pay-per-view. I mean, I would have been really pissed that I paid for it, but I haven't paid for anything in a long time. The Jericho Ray and the Punk Hardy were the only things that were, you know, above average to, you know, in any way. Everything else, I'd, you know, like a thumbs in the middle. Just kind of average. I've seen worse. Except for the main event.
That's always a great compliment. I've seen worse. Okay.
Well, that's kind of where I am.
Yeah. All right, Kevin, you're up.
I didn't hate it.
Yeah, you know, two big matches, you know, maybe it gets like a 4 or 5 or something in that area-ish just for those two matches, really.
Yeah, that's fair, yeah. All right, Eric.
The goods outweigh the bads. Mysterio Jericho being good, Punk Hardy being good. Somehow or other, it actually do balance out the horrible last women's match, the horrible Triple H showing, and... Tommy Dreamer looking like he's about ready to throw up his Denny's breakfast. So, I don't know. Good enough. It was worth every penny.
Yep, I agree.
I'll go with a slight I want to give the show a thumbs up, but the last, you know what? If you cut out the last two matches, maybe it's a thumbs up, but I don't know. The two matches I was looking forward to the most delivered, and really the ending of the CM Punk Jeff Hardy match delivered much further than I expected. So, there we go. So I don't know. I just go the route of finding a different way to watch this show. So, all right. So we're not doing a mass send off. I'm just going to end this thing so that we're not going over and over and over. So everyone, for Eric, Kevin, and Jordan, and for Dusty, who is probably half asleep now. Thanks for listening, and we'll be back later in the week with another audio or two, and definitely some more posts. Thanks.